Moncrief on News Talk.
Why does our perception of time change when we're exercising? Of course, it's because exercise is horrible. But is there something actually going on in the brain? Ruth Ogden is professor of the psychology of time at Liverpool's John Moores University. Ruth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And congratulations on the coolest academic title I've heard in a long time.
thank you.
So is there something biochemical happening in your brain when you're exercising or perhaps just doing something you don't particularly enjoy?
Yeah, so what we know from research that's been conducted is that there's an intricate relationship between our physiological state, so how fast our heart's beating, how much we're sweating, how fast we're breathing, and how we experience time. And any of your listeners, you might have been in a car crash or any other sort of situation that's very frightening, where they felt like they might be about to die, will know that time really slows down in these sorts of situations, just like it does when we perform exercise, which we don't really enjoy doing. So what we know is that the more aroused we are, the faster our heart's beating, the more intense we're feeling fear or the desire to run away, the slower time seems to go.
And why does our body do that for us? Because it seems counterintuitive. You'd think your body would like speed it up to make you to help you get over it.
Yeah, so we all want the bad times to pass quickly. But what we think is the case is that over our evolutionary history, our brains have developed to relate staying calm with our perception of time. So if you think back to what it would have been like to be a caveman, you might be running away from a saber-toothed tiger or some other large mammal that wants to eat you instead of you eating it. That sensation of time slowing down during periods of intense arousal and fear might have given you a little bit more time to think about how to survive. So we think it's some sort of evolutionary benefit from back in the day, but obviously now it plays out mainly in things like exercise and car accidents, if you're unfortunate enough to be in one.
Yeah. So then is it kind of related to what we might perceive to be some sort of threat?
Yes, exactly. So I think what we've got is two different things. When we're exercising, it's just unpleasant, isn't it? Unless you're one of the types of people who really enjoys it. I used to do long distance running and I hated every minute of it, even though I carried on doing it. So part of the reason that time slows down when we're exercising is that we're very, very aroused. But part of it is that it's just not very nice and we want it to be over. And this makes us pay far too much attention to time. And when we pay too much attention to time, just like when you're waiting for a train that's running late, time feels like it's passing really slowly. So it's a combination of what we think about time and how we feel that makes it pass more quickly or slowly than normal.
Ah, right. But say you're at a wedding and, you know, the bride's father has embarked on the most tedious speech you've ever heard in your life. That wouldn't, is that in the same, is the same part of the brain then reacting to that?
So it's probably not the part of the brain. It's probably just your attention. So unless the bride's father is talking about something which is making you frightened or fear for your life, which they might do depending on what you've been doing, it's more likely that you're just getting incredibly frustrated and incredibly bored and you want to get back to the bar and you're just sat there thinking, when is this person going to stop talking? That makes you pay too much attention to time and it makes their rather dull speech feel even longer than it actually is.
Okay, so I suppose the trick to get through these things now, I mean, it's probably easier during the long, boring speech than it is if you're in a car crash, but to think about something else.
Yeah, so distraction is really key in these types of situations. And we see this in exercise, what people often do. They'll watch Netflix while they're in the gym so that they're not thinking about how much time they're spending on a treadmill. Or if they're out running in the streets, they'll listen to music. They'll try and break the run down into smaller proportions so each bit doesn't feel quite so long. So if you want to feel like you can exercise for longer, the key thing to do is to try and make it manageable and to distract yourself from the pain that you might be experiencing.
Are there experiences we have where time speeds up and we might wish, God, I wish that had slowed down when that was happening?
Yeah, so one of the things that we often hear people say is that time passes more quickly as you get older. So if you've ever spoken to an elderly relative, they might say Christmas comes around more quickly each year. And if we all think back to our childhood, the summer months where we were off in the school holidays used to feel like an age, whereas now a week passes by in an instant. One of the things that creates this effect is the way in which our memory helps us to understand time. So when we are experiencing lots of new things, we tend to feel like it's been a long time. When we're experiencing very few new things, we tend to feel like it's been a short time. So if you feel like life is passing you by as you get older, so it's passing too quickly, you want to try and do new things. You want to try and remind yourself of all the things that you do in your daily life. And that will help you to feel like you've got a longer, fuller life.
For older people, though, is proportion something to do with it? Because if you're 7, 3 months is a large chunk of your actual life. If you're 72, it's not so much.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's a combination of lots of things. So one idea, like you've said, is proportion. When we're little, a year is a huge proportion of our life. When we're old, it's a very small proportion of our life. But I think it's also about control. When you're a child, you spend a lot of time waiting for things to happen, like waiting to get your ears pierced, waiting to get your driving license, waiting for Santa to come. Whereas an adult, there's far less waiting for nice things in the future. And when we're not waiting and anticipating and thinking about time, it can feel like it's passing more quickly than normal.
And the work you do, do you actually have people in and you get them to wait for stuff?
Yeah, so we do all sorts of things. So we get people in, we use a lot of VR in our experiments. So if we want to understand things like high emotion and threat, we put people in VR environments where they have to walk across ice bridges that are crumbling underneath them. Huh. And they get the sensation of falling between mountains. And we look at how their physiological response to that, so their heartbeat and their sweating, how that relates to their experience of time. And the more they become physiologically aroused, the more time distorts. And then we do the same with waiting. So we just invite people into our VR waiting room and we just leave them there with absolutely nothing to do. And we monitor their heart rate. And then we ask them how long they were there for. And we see the same again. The more frustrated our participants are, the more time distorts for them.
And is there a way to kind of to monitor the brain to rate how they're perceiving time? Or does it have to be self-reported by the person?
So I think that one of the things that time is it's a highly subjective experience. We all know that the clock tells us that a minute is a minute, an hour is an hour. But what's important to us is how those hours and minutes feel. So we're really reliant on people telling us about how the passage of time feels for them. And then us trying to pin together the different things that might affect that. So we can look at how people's change in brain function or changes in brain activity relate to their experience of time. And that might tell us a little bit more about the types of brain areas that might be involved in distortions to time. But given what we already know, that it's a very emotional experience, it tends to be when we were bored, we'd expect areas of the brain that are responsible for emotion and attention to be related to experiences of the passage of time.
Are some people better at assessing a period of time than others, in the sense that, you know, there is a certain cohort of people who are able to say, no, that was 5 minutes, and they're usually more or less correct?
So what some studies have shown is that people who are very in touch with their bodies tend to be better at judging time. So if you're very good at judging your own internal state, so how aroused you are, how quickly your heart's beating, how quickly you're breathing, then that can make you better at judging the experience of time. But most people are just shaping their experience of time from their environment. They're not really necessarily good or bad at it. They just experience things as faster or slower. But we all know those people who just don't care enough to be on time. And again, I don't think that that is about them not being able to perceive time. That's just about them not caring.
Yeah, that's a whole other argument. Ruth, thanks a million for speaking with us today. Ruth Ogden is a professor of the psychology of time at Liverpool John Moores University.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.